Won't we have time when we get over yonder? Won't we have time when we get over yonder? Won't we have time when we get over yonder? Oh, won't we have time? Oh, yes, won't we have time when we get over yonder? Won't we have time when we get over yonder? Won't we have time when we get over yonder? Oh, won't we have time? We're going to sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. Sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. Sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. Oh, won't we have time? Shout and dance about while going over yonder. Sing and shout and dance about while
together. Hallelujah. Lord, I worship you. I worship you here today. I magnify your holy name. What an awesome God we serve. Lord, you saved us from a burning hell. God, you healed us when we were sick. You delivered us when we were bound. Lord, you're the miracle worker, Lord, that we find at our midnight hour. Oh, God, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord here this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. We do want to remind you of our service tonight, 5:30 prayer. Everyone say 5:30 prayer. It's not 6 o'clock. It's not 6:10. It's not 6:15. It's not even 5:35. But be here for prayer at 5:30. Amen. You need to pinch your flesh and say, flesh, listen to the pastor. We need to be on time. Amen. How many want God to be on time for you? Oh, yeah. I don't want to find myself, I'll use the term, in a pickle. Yeah. Needing God right now. When we've not been right now. Amen. I'm thanking God that He is an on-time God, ever present in our times of need. Amen. But God takes note. God knows when we're doing it with all our heart, and He knows when we're doing it half-heartedly, or we're just doing it out of motion. We're just traditional apostolics, or it's got a hold of us. Amen. So let's make it a habit, amen, to be on time for prayer and be ready, amen, for what God wants to do. Praise God. It's not always for me. Amen. That's a lot of people's prayers is for me. Amen. God wants you to be a conduit for others. Amen. We need to quit being selfish about our experience and be a light to those around us. Amen. Service at 5:30 tonight. After service tonight, there will be a food sale. We'll be selling baked potato. So we'll have a baked potato bar, Frito boats, and desserts and all that good stuff. And so let's have a time of fellowship. Choir will meet at 4:30 this afternoon. And we do want to make mention, Toys for Tots has already started. October 1st is the kickoff date. And so tonight you can pick up your Toys for Tot forms. And we are going to just go out to our families. We will be bringing out the old Sunday school bus route, and we will be going also to those homes that used to be a part of our Sunday school, and we want to reach out to them. We want to let them know we've not forgot them. Amen. So we do want to keep that in our forefront, our minds, so that we can be willing to go and fill these forms out for Toys for Tot. Amen. We do want to go before the Lord in our prayers here this morning. We want to pray for Phil Howard. He is sick in body. We want to pray for the Marin family. They are out for the weekend. We want to pray for the Corrales family. They are all out for the weekend. We also want to pray for Brother Mike Morales. He's recovering from shoulder surgery, and we know that God is able to give him a speedy recovery. We also want to pray for Anthony Garcia. The Lord will touch his body. He's been having a lot of difficulty in regards to his port that he has put in for his sickness, and he has been in and out of the hospital. In fact, I think he's at the hospital now. He's constantly having problems with that port, bleeding consistently, and that's not good. So we want to pray in his behalf. I told Sister Lydia, I told her, we need to pray either God just completely heals him, or pray that God gives these doctors some wisdom. Amen. That's why they're just called practicing physicians, because they just keep practicing on you. Amen. But let's pray, amen, for Anthony here this morning. We also want to pray a special request for Tina Cavazos, and also for salvation. We want to pray for Sister Debbie's sister, Samantha, and Anthony Kano. We want to pray for them. Also, we want to pray for Fernando and Lolly Davalis for healing. They've got COVID. We want to pray for them. We also want to pray for Nora Ramos for healing in her body. Brother Brandon wants the Lord to touch his body. We want to continue praying for Sister Rachel's mother, Mary Castile, for healing. Amen. God's able. Amen. We also want to pray for Anna Puga. She is in a coma. We want to pray that the Lord would minister to her in the hospital here today. I know God. Do you know God? Amen. I know the healer. He steps into this place often. And I believe here today he is wanting to minister. He's wanting to touch. He's wanting to do a good work. Amen. And we are the ones that take our petitions before the throne in the name of Jesus for virtuous healing to flow. Amen. If you have an unspoken request by the uplifting of your hand, amen. No one but you know how to pray for those needs, to have faith in God. And I believe God will do exactly, amen, what you have need of him to do in this service here this morning. Let's unite our voices and let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for the works that you are doing. We're thankful, Lord God, for your anointing here today. Thankful, Lord, that you're able, Lord, to heal. You're able, Lord, you hear our prayers and you do answer prayer. I pray, Lord God, every request. Touch these that are in the hospital. Minister to these that are home and are recovering from surgery. I pray, God, you minister to these that are gone. You give them protection as they return tonight. You're able, Lord God, to let your touch be upon every request, every unspoken request. You have the ability to move and do your will. I'm asking you, Lord, to put faith in the hearts of the petitioners here in this house. I know whom we serve, the God of creation, the God of all things. There is nothing that is impossible for you here today. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless this offering that we are about to take. I pray, Lord, bless the giver in Jesus' name.
Well, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Yes, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want.
Oh, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Oh, just call him up and tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. Oh, call him up and tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Oh, my Jesus on the main line. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Let's just call him up. Call him up.
Tell him what you want.
We've got to call him up.
Call him up.
Oh, will you call him up?
Call him up and tell him
what you want.
Jesus on the main line
now. Just call him up.
Call him up and
tell him what you want. Just call him up.
Call him up and tell him what you want.
Just call him up.
Call him up and tell him what you want.
Oh, Jesus
on the main line.
Oh, he's waiting to hear your call. Oh, tell him what you want,
Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want.
Oh, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Oh, Jesus on the main line now. We just gotta call him up.
Call him up and tell him what you want.
You just gotta call him up.
Call him up and tell him what you want. Call him up and
tell him what you want.
Jesus on the main line now.
Well, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Oh, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Oh, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Oh, Jesus on the main line now. You just gotta call him up.
Call him up and tell him what you want.
You just gotta call him up.
Call him up and tell him what you want.
Oh, call him up. He's never busy.
Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
Oh, let's call on the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We are excited to serve you today. There's no God like our God. What an awesome God we serve. Lord, we want to lift you up. We want to exalt your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. We do want to say thank you to everyone that helped us on our dinners on Friday. Amen. Thank you so much from those who sold, to those who went out and purchased all the product, those who helped during prep, those that was there Friday to help put our dinners together and then to make all of our deliveries, and then for cleaning up. Amen. Cleaning up is the hard part. And I thank everyone that stayed, made sure that it got all done, and then setting up the facility for our meeting in a week. Amen. It's right before us. Amen. Praise God. And so just a quick amen reminder, tomorrow we will be gathering at the church at 6 p.m. Everyone say at 6 o'clock. And I'm not going to be late. I'm not going to be
late.
I'm not going to be
late.
I'm not going to be
late.
I'm not going to be
late.
But I'll be early. Amen. You know, God, now, listen to what I'm going to say. God hates procrastinators. He really does. I can show you, I can give you a Bible study on it, but I'm not preaching here this morning. But how many of you ever held a position for your job or your place of employment that you were either a supervisor, you were a manager, you were one that was, you know, in charge to make sure that people followed policy and that the work was done the way it was to be done? How many's ever held that kind of position? Would you get fired? No, did you?
No, I
raised my hand. Oh. After everybody else had finished raising their hand. All right. Amen. God doesn't like people that are late. Amen. I learned from my position. I went to boot camp.
Amen. I was in management from Safeway stores, and I fired people. I just kicked them off the stage. I fired people because they were late coming to work. I gave them notice. You know, you have to give them a notice. First was verbal. But then after that, I started writing them up. And after the third write-up, I said, if you're late again, you're fired. You know, people will try you. They'll try you. They'll just want to see what they can get away with. You know, they do that in God's house. But you got to understand that God runs his corporation the same way that corporate America, the corporate world, runs their corporations. Where do you think they learned it from? The Bible. It's all there. And so as much as those of you that are out there, how many has ever been late to work and got written up? Only one? I think we got some liars in this place. No one's ever been late to work. Did you get verbals? You know, you think you didn't get rid of. You know, our policy for Safeway was you didn't have to tell the employee you were writing him up. You know what? It's amazing how many people come to work late and they try to sneak in. I've literally had employees, instead of clocking in, they'll write in their time they got there. Usually then you know they're bluffing. They're trying to get away from something. And so I remember writing up a guy, and I just felt like I needed to tell him. I needed to tell him. I didn't have to, but I went to his where he was working, and I told him, I said, hey, look, I called him by name, and I said, you know, I had to write you up today. He said, why? I said, because you were 10 minutes late to work. He said, oh, no. I said, yes, you were. I said, I can take you to the camera and show you when you walk through the door. Oh, no, no, you don't have to do that. I said, yeah, because you know I caught you. You were late. You know what he did after that? He cussed me out. He told me, I'm old enough to be your father. You don't treat me that way. I said, really? I said, all right. I said, guess what? He said, what? I said, you just got written up again. He goes, what for? I said, do I have to repeat to you what you just said to me? No. I said, all right. I said, You just got to be on time. You just got to be on time. Why are people late to work? Come on, you're all in a classroom. Why are people late? Every one of your answers is right. You're all looking at me like I must have had a wrong response. No, every answer given was correct. Why do we want to be late serving God? Oh, yeah, someone can say, well, if I lose this job, I'll just go get another job. Well, you could. But when it comes to the church, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. Amen. So, Monday night, 6 o'clock. And when we gather, I am going to give direction. I'm going to send a crew to the West facility. I'm then going to be directing those that will be here at this facility. And I'm going to send Sister Hale, she didn't even know that till right now, I'm going to send her over with you all to the West facility so we can get everything done that needs to be done. I will have the list of what I want to be done, which I think all of us know it when we regards to deep cleaning. Means the baseboards, the walls, the fixtures, everything, deep clean. The bathrooms, the foyer, deep clean. The kitchen, everything. It's everyone say deep clean.
Deep clean.
Not how you clean your house. But deep clean. And we're asking everybody to be here. This is all for the kingdom of God. And there shouldn't be no one that's missing. Amen. And I think someone out there said the reason why some people are late, they just don't care. Well, that's what people are, why some people won't show up, because they don't care. Amen. And you may then wonder why you don't make it to heaven. Because you don't care. Because the Lord's response is, well, when you don't make it and you stand before the Lord in judgment, and the Lord says, now, why didn't you make it? I don't know, Lord. I think I thought I did everything I was supposed to do. And the Lord's response is going to be, no, it's because you didn't care. So in other words, what he's going to say to some is, you're not here in going in through my pearly gates because you just didn't care. You know, it's like a marriage. You know why marriages break up? It's because someone in the marriage really didn't care. Now let me ask a question. How many expressed to your spouse today that you love them? Not right now, but already today. What happened to the rest of you? I don't want my wife to think I don't care. And I especially don't want God to think I don't care. That's what prayer is for. That's what worship is all about. That's why it's important. It ought to be important to me. The book of Proverbs says that when we as individuals show how much we care about something, then God, in response to how we are, shows us how much he cares about that very thing that we care about. Amen. And that's Bible. I'm not going to teach on it, but I just feel a need here in this house. There is a spirit. Amen. I'm going to preach about it here tonight. But there is a spirit of neglect that is coming upon the church. When somebody tries to say, I just need a break. They don't need, it's not that what they're saying. Is what they're really saying is, I'm backslid. Nobody takes a break on God. You're backslid. You're backslid. When you don't come to church, you're not on church on time, you're backslid. You're backslid. We can't live for God with that mentality. You know, I fired people on the job because when they came to work, they didn't give their whole heart into the job. They got fired for neglect of job duty. You know, I pray, oh God, don't fire me because of neglect of job duty. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you what, this issue that I've been talking about here for the last several services, this has really got me in a sense of I've been thinking about this issue that we're dealing. Our society is so in trouble. Mentality wise, they are in trouble. They're not thinking right. They're not thinking right. Amen. I'm telling you, it starts from the top down. Does anybody know what your president? Job, what his job rating is right now? He's got the worst job performance rating than any president ever that's held office. Ever. And they said he's losing more of his own party in these polls than any Democratic president ever has had in his own caucus. Amen. That tells you how much trouble our world is in today.
Right.
And they just came out and they said that that he's hardly kept any of his promises, but he's broken most of them. Mm-hmm. And one commentator said, and don't think it's going to get any better.
Yeah.
Amen. I am worried. Really, I'm worried, and yet I'm not worried. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I am worried on this level is America. But on the flip side, I'm not worried at all because God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. When you can ignore your pastor, that ought to send a red light telling you you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Amen. I was talking with God this week, and I was talking to God about individuals. And in talking to God, I told God these words. I says, God, if I can't get a hold of them, if things that I say, some people say, well, you never said anything to me, Pastor. What am I doing right now?
That's right. Come on. Come on.
Some people think they need to have a one-on-one with the pastor for the pastor to correct them. No, you ought to take it all from the pulpit.
That's right.
I shouldn't have to come to you and tell you you're late to church all the time. You don't pray, you don't worship. I shouldn't have to do that. But what you hear coming from this pulpit, whether I'm preaching, doing pastoral duties, that ought to be all you need to hear. And say, okay, God, I know. You say, well, I just don't think that's all cult. No. Then you need to go quit your job. Because there's a whole lot of things that policy on your job requires that you don't think are necessary. But you got hired to do the job and follow the policy. God filled you with the Holy Ghost. God loves you to die for you. God has a policy. And we need to follow that policy. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. Amen. I want to be saved. How about you? Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm looking forward to a heavenly retirement. With all the benefits that come along with it. Amen. Sister Helen and I, I know you're standing. Hope you're not getting tired. Sister Helen and I, we every once in a while, we talk about when I work for Safeway. And we talk about how how many years I would have had in if I would have kept working for Safeway. And we talk about that retirement that I could have had if I would have kept working for Safeway. When I turned 50, that's a few years ago, if I would have still been working for Safeway, I could have retired at 50 with full benefits. Full benefits. Now, some of you know what that means. Some of you don't know what that means. But I've been living pretty well. But I didn't want to depend upon man. I had to follow the will of God. And that's why I've been here for 30 years. Because I was doing the will of God. Amen. 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 I'm telling you, what you got to understand is God blesses those who are in His will.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
And just because you think, because of all the toys you got and the new mattress you bought, that you're living in hog heaven. You know what? That mattress can go up and smoke tomorrow. And you have to go buy another one. Your toys get old. But there's one thing that never gets old. And that is your genuine experience with God. That's what I have to cherish, is my experience with God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, help us to fall in love with You all over again. Lord God, help us to understand what our priorities in this life need to be. I pray, God, help us today. Help us today. Help us today. And you may say, Pastor, what's brought all this on? It's because of those who have been backsliding. It's those who have been backsliding. You say, don't come up to me and tell me they're just wanting to take a break. No, they're not. Be honest with yourself and say they're backslid. That's what the Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews, that people that don't assemble themselves together are backslid.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. I'm telling you what, I just don't miss church.
Right.
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 Because I just got a hangnail.
Yeah.
Or my back is hurting. No, I'm here with a hurt back, with a leg that's burning on fire right now. I'm here. I'm not going home because I understand, amen, that this is a priority in my life. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. This is what I'm living for. This is what I'm living for. I remember, and when you get tired, you can sit down. I remember when I decided I felt the will of God to go full time in the ministry. I remember when I gave my notice with Safeway, they thought I was nuts. And I remember one of the district managers telling me, they said, you have potential. And he was stating what he felt that I had the ability to do. I opened new stores. I trained new employees. He said, we don't want to lose you. In fact, they tried to give me a job here in the valley, because this is where we were moving to way back then. And I said, no, I am going to pursue the ministry. I went to my accountant, you know, the guy that does your taxes, and he looked at me and said, "What were you thinking?" He said, you went from making a high living, you're below poverty now." I said, "Well," I said, "I'm doing what I feel is the will of God." He said, "How are you making it?" I said, "We're all doing fine. God's taking care of us. And you know what? I've never turned back." That's the way we need to look at it. I'm never looking back. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, just a little pastoral advice.
Amen.
Good. Amen. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, "Pastor Hale, you have been in Corcoran for 30 years. How many people, if they would have all stayed in your church, how many people would you run?" I said, "This church that I'm pastoring in today would not hold a half of those."
That's right. Right.
And this is the question they asked. What happened? And my response to that question was simply this. They quit praying. They quit praying. When you quit praying, things aren't important to you anymore spiritually. When you quit praying, worship is not important. When you quit praying, faithfulness is no longer important. When you quit praying, you're in trouble.
That's right.
It may not happen at that moment, but it will happen. And eventually the devil will win. Amen. That's why I appreciate, amen, last night we were here. I was here late. We were working late here at the church trying to get things together for the anniversary services. And I'm telling you what, prayer could be heard. People were praying. People were touching God. People were praying. Amen. I'm telling you what, that's probably the sweetest sound I can hear from my ear. I'd rather hear you praying than hear you singing.
Amen.
I'm not saying anything because I know there were some here before the prayer started. There were people in here singing. Please don't take that in a negative sense. But I'm telling you, the sweetest sounds that can ever be heard, amen, is not a baby cooing. It's not birds chirping. But I'm telling you, the sweetest sounds that can be heard is people that are praying. People that are praying. Amen. I'm telling you what, I love to hear people pray. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Well, are you ready for the preaching of the word? Amen. Praise God. I know I took a lot of time here this morning, but I'm telling you, I am concerned. I really am concerned. Amen. Of those who are lacking in their spirituality, amen, and don't even have a concern for themselves about being faithful to God, amen. That concerns me, and it bothers me. And you heard me say it the other day, how many services I step into my office to make phone calls, and if people don't answer their phone, I'll try to text them. And sometimes that's to no avail. But I'm telling you, that concerns me. You know why it concerns me? Because that lets me know people don't care. Amen. But the sad thing is they don't care about themselves and in their own salvation. God, shake us up and help us, Lord, to recognize how important our salvation is. Brother Hale, come preach to us here this morning. Amen. God's already been speaking. God's already been talking here. You may tune me out, but don't ignore the word that just went forth.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen.
You may brush off my message, but don't brush off that message.
That's right.
I heard it said, you can never unlearn what you've learned. But when you walk away from what you've learned, you're backslidden.
Right. Yeah. You're right. That is right.
Right.
And I'm not talking about just a dress and you start wearing pants.
Come on. Come on.
Or you're clean shaven and you start growing a mustache.
Right. Right.
But it can be the smallest little things.
Right.
When you walk away from what you've learned and what you know and what God has done, you're backslidden. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
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 God's concerned today.
Yes.
If you have your Bibles, if you can turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 25. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? Verse 27. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? Pastor was preaching. He didn't know what I was going to preach. And I didn't know what he was going to talk about. And I don't know what he's preaching tonight. But God has a message for somebody. You've learned. You've known. God's dealt with you. But you're walking away. How the mighty have fallen. This morning I've come to preach how the mighty have fallen. Amen. Can we lift our voices here this morning? Amen. Can somebody lift their voice and pray and intercede? Somebody here today needs a touch of the Holy Ghost. God, we come before you once again. God, we need to hear from you. God, there's got to be a response, Lord, in somebody's soul and somebody's spirit today. God, the adversary is hot on somebody's trail today. God, there are hearts that need something from you in this house. And I pray, Lord, that through your anointed word, that you will make a difference in them. God, let them hear the word, but not hear alone. Let them apply. Let them stir themselves up. God, let them shake themselves before it's too late. I plead the blood upon this service this morning. God, right now, right here at this moment, I pray that your glory fill this house. God, I plead your blood. God, I plead your blood. Lord, we need you to intervene here today. In Jesus' name, we ask this. God, do what you are desiring to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. This morning, again, I said it, but I feel to preach how the mighty have fallen. We know we are in a spiritual battle. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. That soldier, as a soldier in God's army, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight. We weren't promised that it was always going to be easy.
When you received the Holy Ghost, it wasn't going to be just a walk in the park.
No, sir. Right.
But it was going to be a fight. Hell would come against you. Your enemy, your adversary, Satan, was going to come in and fight against you. And we know for the things of God, for the things of the Spirit, to obtain those things, it is going to take a fight. True deliverance is going to take a fight. Amen. Not on God's part, but for the saints of God. For your family to come, it's going to take a fight. Amen. It's going to take an apostolic to find a place to pray. True apostolic revival doesn't come easy. A deep walk with God doesn't come easy. Just because you dress the part and you know how to respond doesn't mean that you're just going to have a revival. We can say we want to see signs, miracles, and wonders, but it's not going to happen just because we show up. Amen.
Amen.
Just because you sit on an apostolic a pew.
Right.
No, sir.
You're right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 But there is a battle in the spirit. Amen. There are spirits that have to be fought.
Right.
Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But some of you are wrestling against your flesh. Amen. Your flesh is more important to you than the spirit. You're more concerned about what you can gain and what you can get than the spirit. You may say no. Well, I beg to differ with you because you can see it all over you. You can see it in your response. You can see it in what is important to you. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It is going to be a fight. It's going to be hard at times. Endure hardness. It's going to be a struggle if you want true apostolic revival. Endure that hardness and fight as a good soldier of Jesus, fighting against these spirits and attitudes. Amen. I said attitudes. Because when you're living in the flesh, you will have an attitude. When the man of God gets up and begins to declare the word of God, and you're in the flesh and not in the spirit, that's when your attitude flares up. Amen. And you start to rise up in yourself. Who does he think he is? Amen. Thank you, Brother Chavez. I know you're not here. But when you think you know more than the man of God and you get an attitude, oh, woe is you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And 3 months ago, you could have been standing on your feet. Amen.
Come on.
But now something's wrong. The enemy has always fought against the church. Don't think you're the first one.
Come on.
Amen. Don't think you're the first one to find yourself right where you find yourself. How the mighty have fallen and been right where you sit here this morning with the same attitude, the same backbiting and gossip and bitterness. How the mighty have fallen. You may heed the word of God. You may shake yourself and wake up. Or you may not. And once again, it will be said, how the mighty have fallen. And it's sad to say, but you won't be the last. You won't be the last. Because the devil, as long as there is still time left, he will be fighting against the church. He will be fighting against the saints of God, the true saints of God. Amen. He's not fighting the church down the street. He's happy that they're full or empty. It don't matter to him. He is going to fight the true apostolic church with everything that he has. Because the devil does not want true apostolic revival. The devil's been fighting the church since the beginning. Spirits, people that were possessed, people that got the wrong attitude. Their spirit inside rose up against authority. There was conflict, disunity. What was happening? It was the adversary coming in against the church, using sin and the flesh against themselves. Hey, just don't think it's always going to be sin in the outside. But when you walk in the flesh, the enemy will use your flesh against you. You cannot be sinning. You can be living right. But if you are not praying, you can still get a spirit upon you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bowling, for those that were at a camp. You may not be possessed, but you can have a spirit that is upon you, and you can still be lost. I'm not possessed. No, but you got the spirit, whatever you want to call it, that rises up against the authority, against the man of God. You may not be out drinking and smoking, watching movies, watching the NFL, whatever it may be, but when you have an attitude that's against authority and against the man of God, against the ministry, you have a wrong spirit that is upon you. And if you don't shake that spirit off, if you don't shake that spirit off, whatever it is, you're going to be lost. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. The early church knew what to do. And this apostolic church knows what to do. Amen. We know what our weapons are. Amen. We know how to fight. We know that we can go to prayer. We can begin to worship and praise God. Amen. I've said this. I said this before. I don't know when, but I'm going to say it again. Amen. Because I feel it. I feel this morning there is a call to the church to begin to fight like never before. Amen. But it's not just a call for the church to fight, but it's a call for a wounded soldier here this morning. Amen. It is a warning that has gone forth. You better get back in the fight, or it's going to be pronounced over your name how the mighty have fallen. There's a warning going forth. Amen. There's a battle cry that has went forth from hell against this church. Amen. We heard pastors say it and preach it. Amen. He's been preaching about worship. And the enemy said, I'm going to fight against you. And you can see it. You can feel it. You can see it in people's attitudes, in their response, in their facial expressions. Amen. The enemy is coming in like a flood. And there's a call to fight. And there is a warning to get back in the fight. The battle is raging. I said the battle is raging. And you've got to fight like never before. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. I'm talking to a mighty man that's in the house today. You better wake up. You better shake yourself and realize that the enemy is hot on your trail. Oh, you might gain this whole world, but if you lose your soul, what does it profit you? Come on, mama. Come on, dad. You better wake yourself up. Come on, tell your neighbor, wake up! Wake up! Are you asleep spiritually? You can't respond to the man of God. You can't respond in worship. You can't respond in prayer. Why? Because you're asleep spiritually. Wake up! It's time to fight! Come on, is it worth the fight today? Is it worth the fight
today? Or is your ego more important? Is your pride, amen, more important today than your salvation, than your kids, than your wife? Wake up! Wake up! Amen, it's time to wake up! Are you fighting? Or are you asleep? Amen, I don't know about you, but I'm fighting. Amen, you might not be fighting, but I'm fighting. I'm fighting for you. Though you may not want to fight, I'm fighting for you. Amen, I knew this wasn't going to be an easy message. Amen. Thank you for those that are responding. Amen. But hell is coming against this church. Hallelujah. Amen. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us? Hey. I'm fighting for my salvation. I'm fighting for my kids, my wife, my family. I'm fighting for my brother. I'm fighting for my sister. That's right, I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for you. You may not be fighting for yourself, but I'm fighting for you. I'm praying on your behalf. I'm pleading the blood. God, get a hold of them. Shake them. Wake them up. I don't want to see them lost. I don't want to see another casualty. I've come too far now to turn back. I've come too far. I know too much. I've been blessed too much. God's done so much for me. I can't turn back now. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back. Remember Lot's wife. And looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know why? Because when you look back and you start to backslide, hey, it's just going away from what you know is right. Gets up. We need to be on time. We need to be here for prayer. We need to be here Monday night. Hey, that's not a heaven or hell issue. Oh, you wanna start doing that? Your attitude is wrong. Your spirit is wrong. When the man of God says something, you need to do it. Obey it. He is the watchman. He is your shepherd. I don't think that's necessary. I don't think that's a... Oh, yep. Thank you again, Brother Chavez. When you think you know. You think you know. You're backsliding. You're backsliding.
Right. That's right.
You can't give up now. You can't stop now. Don't be another mighty warrior that has given up. Don't be a Demas who loved this world. For demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world. You better be careful when you start to love the things of this world more than the house of God. When your hobbies, your toys, whatever it may be, is more important than prayer, worship. What is it? You're forsaking God. And you're loving this world. You can't love this world and love the church. You can't love self and love God. Don't be the prodigal son. That you get so blessed that you walk out of the Father's house. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Come on. Jesus'
name. It's time to fight. It's time to fight. There are those that ain't even here this morning. They're in a backslidden condition. There are even those that are in the house today who are in a backslidden condition. Church, it's time to fight. It's not time to be nosy, but it is time to fight. It's time to fight in the Holy Ghost. It's time to fight in the spirit. It's time to pray like never before. You may have been praying. It's time to pray harder. You might be worshiping. It's time to worship harder. You might be responding. It's time to respond even harder. Why? When you're in a battle, the battle might start off and it might just be a shot here, a shot there. But as the battle continues, it starts to heat up. And then there's gunfire all around. Bombs start going off. The battle starts to rage. You can't fight the same way you were fighting in the beginning. You've got to start fighting harder and smarter. And I'm not contradicting myself. When you know, no, I know, I understand. I understand what I'm saying. But I know what I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to do it. I know in the beginning I may have just been praying a little bit. But the battle is raging. I see a brother or a sister. They're wounded in their spirit. I've got to pray harder. I've got to intercede all the more. Pray. Pray harder. Push the plate away. Get into that secret place. Into that prayer room. Why? Because the adversary is coming in like a flood. He's fighting for your soul. He's fighting for a soul that's in this house. He's fighting for your family. And if you don't fight, who will? Who's going to fight for the backslidden in heart? Who's going to pray on their behalf? Who's going to pray for those that are still to come? Who's going to fight for them? You are their hope. You are your kids' hope. Your parents' hope. Your family's hope. But what hope do they have if you're not willing to fight? If you're not willing to fight harder? because whoever fights the hardest. I shouldn't have to clarify, but I will. God ultimately wins. But in the battle, ultimately, who wins? God. He wins the war. But in the battle, who wins the battle is whoever fights harder. If the devil's fighting harder than you are, you're not very concerned. You're not willing to fight harder than he is. If you'll just fight, and fight with everything that you have. That's the key. Because greater is he that's in you, in me, than he that is in this world. Amen. When you begin to fight with your whole heart, God is for you, and you will win. But you've got to have a made up mind. Somebody's mind in here, there's a battle raging in your mind. You've got to make up in your mind, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. I'm in it to win it. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't stop fighting. Don't get distracted. How the mighty have fallen because they got distracted and they stopped fighting. David got distracted and stopped fighting when he should have been fighting. 2 Samuel 11. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, King David, a man after God's own heart, a mighty warrior, the king, when kings would go forth to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. That's some of your problems. You're tarrying in the wrong places. Your mind is tarrying in the wrong places. You haven't found yourself in the presence of God like you should. Yeah, you're in the house of God. And you might feel the overflow, the effects of the faithful, of those that are fighting, those that are creating the atmosphere. Amen. Don't mistake that you're okay. Just because you feel the presence of God, everything must be all right. David tarried still at Jerusalem. He was complacent, kicking back, enjoying life, taking it easy, while others were fighting. Thank God for those that will continue to fight, even when others won't. While others were still fighting, David got slothful, lazy, idle, inactive, apathetic, showing or feeling no interest, no enthusiasm or concern, unmoved. In the military, leaders consistently tell service members, don't get complacent. Don't get complacent. Complacency, it often strikes deployed soldiers who fall into what is sometimes called the Groundhog Day syndrome. It's what happens when they relive the same day over and over and over again. When you're doing the same thing day in and day out, you start to feel like you can do it in your sleep. But in fact, you can't. Sounds like some apostolics. You've been doing this for how long? You know what you're supposed to do. You come to church, when you're supposed to come to church, what you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to say, day in and day out. I can do it with my eyes closed. Don't get complacent. Most think it won't happen to me. But it's that attitude
that get service members killed or injured every day. It's the same way in the house of God, with saints of God, soldiers of Christ, that get complacent and think you can just go through the motions. I'll be all right. I'm in church. I'm clapping my hands. I respond every once in a while. I get a good little touch every once in a while. And then all of a sudden you find yourself, the man of God gets up and it's correction time. And all of a sudden you find yourself with an attitude. You're injured. You don't even know it. Who's that?
Come on.
Who's he? You're injured.
Come on.
It won't happen to me. It is in one of the six deadly words found in incident reports. The others are untrained, undisciplined, unsupervised, overconfident, and unprofessional. Complacency is a feeling of quiet pleasure, security, while unaware of some potential danger. It's when you've been doing the same thing for so long and you're okay. You're in a rut. You're not aware. You're not on guard. The Bible tells us to be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
You're right.
He's seeking you. He's watching you. He knows your spiritual condition. Who's complacent today? Who's distracted today? Who's not sober today? Who's not praying like they should today? Who's not fighting like they should today? That's when the mighty fall. Samson, we can talk about Samson. He was a mighty warrior. He got distracted. And that's when he fell. Saul fell when he thought he knew more than the man of God. And did things his way. The devil's fighting you today.
Right.
Amen. And it's time that you fight back.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Saints, the devil's fighting your family.
Right.
Right.
It's time that you fight. And fight like never before.
That's right.
There's a call again. There's a call to the church. It's time to fight. It's time to fight. It's time to get out your weapons of warfare. It's time to pray in the Holy Ghost. It's time to praise. It's time to worship. It's time to go beyond. And there's a warning. It's time to fight, sir. It's time to fight, ma'am. Are you fighting? Are you fighting? Are you fighting with everything that's within you? Scary words. I don't know if you guys caught it, but scary words I heard. Pastor Hill mentioned last week, I believe. When he said what Sister Hale said, that somebody is about to lose out with God. I don't take that lightly. And if that in itself doesn't make you check yourself, then maybe those words are just about you. When I hear those words, somebody is going to lose out with God. Even as a minister, you know what it makes me do? God, if there's anything in me, I'm sorry. God, created me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. God, I cannot be lost because of sin. I cannot be lost because of an attitude.
because I must be saved. I've come too far. In the last days, there's going to be a falling away. That's what the Bible says. There's going to be a falling away. But it doesn't have to be you.
That's right. That's right.
There will be those that fall. How the mighty have fallen. And sad to say, how the mighty will continue to fall. Because they stop fighting. They stop praying. God's calling us here this morning. God's calling us to fight. God's calling somebody to check themselves. Amen. Church, it's time to fight like never before. We can't be distracted by everything that's going on. Amen. But it is time to